Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Kelly Davio. My guest on this episode of Not So Different is Christine Simon, the Executive Director of the Association for Accessible Medicine's Biosimilars Council. Christine joined me via phone to discuss recent comments from FDA Commissioner Dr. Scott Gottlieb on challenges in the U.S. biosimilars market and a potential legislative solution, the Bipartisan CREATES Act, that could help to address some of those challenges. How important are biosimilars in terms of generating patient access to high-cost drugs?
Well, the short answer is very. I think, you know, we just heard FDA Commissioner Dr. Scott Gottlieb, he made some remarks that were widely reported when he was speaking before the insurance industry last week. And, you know, in that rather remarkable speech, he voiced very, very strong support for streamlining biosimilar development and approval and getting them into the hands of patients. And that's because, you know, biosimilars are really a breakthrough in ensuring that patients have access to affordable versions of very amazing but also very costly biologics and specialty medicines. So because these are so innovative, they're also extremely expensive, and they also represent the vast majority of the pipeline for medicines in the U.S. So we definitely need to address the cost side and the access side. And Dr. Gottlieb, I think, really acknowledged that in his remarks.
And one of the things that was interesting about Dr. Gottlieb's remarks was that he mentioned that the FDA doesn't play a direct role in pricing of drugs, but it can, you know, advocate for policies that are going to play more of a direct role. Are there some policies that you would like to see implemented in the U.S. marketplace that are going to help with some of that competition?
There definitely are. And I think that, you know, Dr. Gottlieb kind of pushing the envelope for what the FDA addresses, at least rhetorically, is really an acknowledgement that, you know, biologics are now 40% of prescription drug spending, and that amounted to $425 billion in 2015. So, you know, the idea that biosimilars can increase competition for those medicines and lower the cost and increase patient access is clearly something that the agency recognizes. And they have been doing more, and I think Dr. Gottlieb mentioned this, around approving biosimilars of late. Right now we have 9 that have been approved by the agency, but there are still outstanding policies that would be really helpful to have from the agency around issues like extrapolation and interchangeability and potency and other issues. So we're looking for additional, you know, push from FDA to get more biosimilars approved. But as we know, that's only part of the equation. They also need to get onto the market, and there are some challenges with that as well.
Can you talk a bit about some of those challenges in getting biosimilars to the market once they've been approved?
Sure. You know, there are challenges on both ends. There's challenges with the approval itself because, again, there are some outstanding guidances we're waiting for from the agency. But we also know that the makers of biologics have every interest in protecting their monopolies. And so we see some evidence of that, and I could only really describe it as abusive, both before a biosimilar is able to get approval and then even after. So on the before side, there is exploitation of the agency's risk evaluation and mitigation strategies, or REMS. Those are, you know, a very important patient safety tool. And when the FDA mandates a REMS, there is a public health purpose. But the law, the Hatch-Waxman law, that provides a pathway for small molecule generics, but this also applies to biosimilars, is very clear on the point that brand companies cannot refuse to sell samples of their products by sort of hiding behind the REMS, mandates from the FDA. But unfortunately, some brand companies have been doing this. And if a generic or biosimilar company can't get the sample, which they must purchase legitimately from the manufacturer, from the brand manufacturer, then the biosimilar maker can't do the work required to demonstrate biosimilarity and then gain approval. So they need this reference product, and the brands are withholding, some of the brands are withholding the reference product illegally and unlawfully and without a patient safety rationale. And to combat this, we have been instrumental here at the Association for Accessible Medicines and the Biosimilars Council in advocating that Congress pass the CREATES Act, which is a bipartisan solution to rein in this abuse and that delays biosimilar competition. So the legislation would prohibit brand companies from using the REMS programs as a way to block competition and impede patient access to biosimilars and generics. And CREATES has gotten really far, but not all the way across the finish line. It has broad bipartisan support from key members of Congress, like Senators Grassley and Leahy and Cruz and Klobuchar and many others. I think we're up to 20 or so. And also just a massive broad base of stakeholders, extremely diverse. You have groups like Public Citizen working hand-in-hand with groups like Freedom Works, when those two groups couldn't be further apart on the political spectrum. And yet they all support, along with dozens of others, the passage of CREATES. That would be extremely helpful in getting more biosimilars into the hands of patients. The other issue is that, the patent system is increasingly being gamed as a means of unfairly prolonging a brand biologic monopoly and delaying patient access. Litigation is really why we have 9 approved biosimilars but only 3 marketed biosimilars. So whereas we have had in the past sort of an approval backlog on the generic small molecule side, what we have for biosimilars right now is a litigation backlog. And, we've seen some very interesting machinations around that. You can look at Humira, for example, where, there's just been a great deal of last-minute patenting to try and maintain the monopoly. And this is a big challenge for biosimilars manufacturers and for the industry as a whole, because this kind of litigation can be so costly that investors, may not choose to invest in biosimilars.
You mentioned the CREATES Act and the fact that it does have this quite impressive bipartisan support and support from a number of stakeholder groups, but it hasn't yet been voted into law or signed into law. What is it going to take to get the CREATES Act over the finish line?
Well, we're optimistic that because through the way Congress has handled the government funding this past several months, there's been multiple opportunities to have vehicles going forward. And so right now there's another opportunity to potentially get CREATES in the mix as Congress considers a variety of, savers and addresses some issues here sort of before they go out for recess. And, we think what it's really going to take is a recognition that if legislators want to be able to tell their constituents that they acted on drug prices this year, this is the vehicle to do it. There is nothing else with this kind of support and, you know, with this kind of impact sitting before legislators right now that would allow them to say that. Nothing else that's moving or even available has the potential to increase competition for lower-cost drugs than the CREATES Act. So if I'm a politician and I'm going to go home to my district soon and get a million questions about the high cost of drugs, I want to be able to say I supported CREATES.
What do you want people to know about biosimilars?
You know, we just want to make sure that folks understand that despite some misinformation campaigns out there aimed at providers and patients, that FDA-approved biosimilars are safe and effective. And when the FDA approves a biosimilar, it means that it has no clinically meaningful differences from its reference biologic product. We know from over 10 years of experience in the European Union, widespread experience, without any safety issues whatsoever, that biosimilars, you know, despite not being identical, provide exactly the same therapeutic outcome. And there is a misinformation campaign, more than one, very similar to what we used to see toward generic drugs back in the late 80s when generics were coming onto the market. Generics are now 90% of all drugs dispensed, so there we have been able to overcome that some of that stigma that that folks who have an interest in reducing competition were promoting. And we see that same dynamic at play now. We're grateful that the FDA is undertaking a large-scale education campaign on biosimilars, and that's what the Biosimilars Council does too. So we just want to make sure that providers and patients understand that biosimilars are just as safe and efficacious and that they can be completely confident in using them.
Thanks for being with us for this latest installment of Not So Different. Join us next time for more insights from leaders in this constantly changing landscape of biosimilar therapies. Until then, visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.